Well, let's just pray and just allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, for taking us in to the next level of everything that you have for us. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you so much. Thank you, Abba. Daddy, we praise you. We praise you for this opportunity to go in and take the next step and go into places, Lord, and places of that we've only dreamed about in the past. And Lord, we've seen those from afar off, but Father, we thank you that ever, like never before, those places are reachable places. This revival, Lord, is a reachable place, and it is a place. The kingdom reality that we live in now is an absolute. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 24. We just want to continue on tonight in that place of, we continue to, I think the title will continue to be, I'm sure it will be, Onward Christian Soldiers. We were sharing some of this up in Ohio, and then last week we were in this place, and we want to turn to Psalms chapter 24 and talk about I got up this morning. We'll read this together in just a moment. And I got up this morning and I got up quite early and I was praying and sitting there in the darkness and just magnifying the Lord and praying in the Spirit. And it just kept coming to me, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I, of course, I knew that was a psalm. And I thought because I have done so much pertaining to creational science lately, and I'm reading a book right now, The Lie by Ken Ham, and of course I was able to take a photo with him in Ohio when I went through the creational museum, and we just toured the Ark, and I've got a lot of interest in that, and have become a studier of those kinds of things, and it's just real, the apologetics on that is very, very interesting. And then Candy and I will have a creational tour in next week down in the Grand Canyon, and we're looking forward to that. So I thought to myself, well, this is just, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I'm thinking, okay, that's the inspiration that's coming out of me as in regards to creation, and that is, and this does pertain to somewhat to creation, but it just kept coming to my spirit, and as I turned to this psalm, I began to understand that this is more of everything that we're on. It was far more than just anything to do with creation. It's more on the same place that we're going forward as onward Christian soldiers, because if there's ever a time that we realize that this, what we affectionately call revival, I mean, you can call it the kingdom of God, and we do, and it's the kingdom of God come. It's the renewal of the kingdom of God. And God is launching us with a sobriety like never before to say, this isn't something that's a fairy tale. It's a reality. It's an absolute reality. See, the Brendas of the world, or the Brendas in the church, should be healed every time, all the time. And as you go through the Gospels, you find that was his mode of operation. That was, he got it done all the time. And so we're in this place, and each week, as the Holy Spirit brings us in here, we're getting more and more accustomed to the reality of it, and not putting it as a far-reaching thing. And so we realize, like never before, that this army that the Lord is preparing is us, of course, and that he's doing everything he possibly can to say that we are marching forward, and this is not a time to take off, right? This is not a time to take off in the flesh. This is, I mean, enjoy your life, do whatever else that God is calling you to do, but keep as a stalwart forefront fulcrum of your affections that this is it. This is, we're going in. We're going in like we never have before and see this thing accomplished. And so as an army going forward, God is continuing to give us scripture after scripture. And this is one of those scriptures. And it says here in chapter 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Just these eight verses. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, obviously all nine, the Lord, ten, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Beginning at verse 1 where it says the earth is the Lord's. Now that is the word earth, primarily pertaining to land, geographical settings, and those kinds of things in the Hebrew. When it says, and the fullness thereof, the world, it says this, the earth is the Lord's, and the same thing applies here. It says, and the fullness thereof, also what belongs to the Lord is the world. And the word world here in the Hebrew is actually the inhabitants. So he's not just talking about the earth as in land mass. That not only does that belong to the Lord, but he's saying all the inhabitants of the earth belong to him. See, when we're marching out and we're going forward, and this is not just something that's happening and won't be just happening here, as we're going forward and as we've got our swag on or our confidence, we realize that even before we go out there, all of them belong to him. They already belong to him. As far as he's concerned and as far as the psalmist is saying, you're going out to get what is his. It already belongs to him. The earth is his and all the inhabitants, they all belong to him. So we're marching out there. We're not marching out there in timidity. We're not marching out there trying to get something that's not ours. The promise is already there. They already belong to him. Praise the Lord. The inheritance of the Lord, the inheritance, and we have to, as we're talking about, we are the army of the Lord going forward. The inhabitants belongs to him. For God, we know this. This is one of our most favorite. For God so loved what? The world. He loved the world. Now, it's not talking about the planet there. It's talking about the inhabitants. Now, we're skipping over into the New Testament now. We're talking about the Hebrew. Now, we're talking about, but it's not a Greek or Hebrew thing. It's a meaning. God so loved who? The world. For God so loved the world. Christ's inheritance, this is, you can turn here, or you can just write it down. I can read it for you. Psalms 2, verse 7. It says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, this is a prophecy given to Jesus, and the psalmist is writing this down. And he says this, I will declare the decree. What was the decree? The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Hallelujah. So one of the things here's the prophecy that is of the old that was given, even prefaced before Jesus ever come into the earth. God said, I've given you the heathen as your inheritance. When you go to the cross and you give your life, you can know this, that I promise you that the inheritance that you're going to receive is the abundance of people, the heathen, they're going to come in. Hallelujah. So we stand in that, do we not? God so loved the world, not the darkness, but the sinner in the darkness. Through what God did, God sees, through what Christ did, God sees the inhabitants as his positionally. So we saw that from the very beginning, didn't we? See, does this give us, what I'm trying to do is, or what he's trying to do is, once you go out, everything we can build inside of you in confidence, it's like you're going out there. So we've been talking about the end time harvest and preparing for the harvest, and this is just another message about preparing for the harvest. But when you go out there, you understand that the promise that was given to Christ, that I give you the heathen, they're your inheritance. The earth is the Lord and all the inhabitants thereof. We're his, we're going out there in his name, and they belong to him. So they belong to us. Hallelujah. Through what Christ did, God sees the world and the inhabitants as his potentially, as his positionally. The world is being held captive by the gates of hell. They are slaves in his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. Now, 1 John 1, you can turn there, or 1 John 5 if you want to. You can look at it in your Bible, or I can read it for you. It says this, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, Gary recently did a teaching on this, and I can't remember what the name of that teaching is. It may be one of the scriptures that we use that Paul gave to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. And that may be the particular lesson that this came out of. But he actually did a word study and looked at that word wickedness. That word wickedness in the Greek is of a masculine gender. So what it's saying, it's just not talking about, it says the whole world lieth in wickedness. How many know that we are in a war? And 1 John 5, 19 and 20 describes two different kingdoms. Two different kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Christ. When it says here that the whole world lieth in wickedness, that word wickedness is actually in a personification. It's actually saying, in essence, the whole world is lying under Satan's authority. But guess what? We go out there and we're going to break that authority. Amen. Everywhere we work, everywhere we live, in the hospitals, hallelujah to God. They are under his Satan, they're under his dominion, under the dominion of Satan because of the sin nature, but positionally, in truth, they belong to Christ. I'm just going to read some of my notes here. They belong to Christ in his inheritance. God sees the whole world as the inhabitants of it belonging to Christ through his inheritance of the nations. Through the election or the free will choice of salvation, every individual belongs to him. The position has been provided for. The position of truth, those who become... Now, I'll stop right there because I just want to reiterate this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay. So here we go as soldiers marching out. And we realize that here's two kingdoms, and the gates of hell are going to do everything they possibly can to stop us. Okay. But first of all, how many of you know that gates, how many's ever seen a gate? Okay. A gate is, it's not something that moves. Okay. Gates are not something that are movable. They're actually stationary, and they actually conceal. They actually conceal or hold something out or hold something in. The world is held behind Immokalee. Let's just talk about our city for just a moment. The gates of hell that are camped and are saying, oh, no, you're not going to have revival, are standing in like a stalwart position, and their position is, you're not going to have revival. But we're the ones, we're not stationary, we are an army, we are a moving force, and we're marching on the gates of hell. Well, everything is being thrown at us, but Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. Listen, it's like we said Sunday, I think it was Sunday, time goes by so quick. Sometimes there's nothing else to do but just endure. That doesn't mean you're accepting it, but there's nothing else to do but just stand in a place and say, people will tell you, I'm going through it. Wonderful. Keep going through. Don't stop. Trials are made to go through. Our Father doesn't send them, but you got to go through to get to the other side. So everything that is being thrown at us hitherto for, or even present tense, is to stop you from the realization that behind those gates is the earth and the fullness thereof. It's our inheritance. It's everything that he possibly could ever, it's all of everything that fills this place up and fills this place up with his glory. I'm telling you, Sunday's going to be a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Come. I plan on being here. Michael, do you plan on being here? Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time. Hallelujah. Wouldn't miss it. The positional truth that the whole world... Now, here's the other thing, too. Let me just take a little rabbit trail here, because this is important. When we're fighting in a fighting stance, that they belong to him, and they do. Positionally, they do belong to him. So we're not... That's something that already belongs to us. It already belongs to that's our inheritance, all those souls. Now, when you read and you understand the finality of what he did, here's where twisted doctrine comes in, and here's where some come to a place where they get off, and they get off in understanding, because they'll say this, they'll say, what he did was absolutely so final. I'll tell you where I'm going. The all-inclusive doctrine, it starts out with the same premise that Psalms 24 is, that they all belong to him. I mean, I don't know if that's one of the scriptures they use, but it's the same foundation. The earth is, not only the earth, but the world. God so loved the world. How many are glad he loved you while you were a sinner? He didn't love us. It wasn't after we got born again. He loved us when we were nasty, messed up, okay? But the premise is, once he's done that, then it's like, it's so final. They believe it's so final that that's all inclusive, and it's done even without a choice. Even without a choice of the individual. Let me see if I've got some notes on that, I believe, so I can probably say it better with my notes. The position of truth, those who become twisted in their doctrine with an all-inclusive mentality become this, or begin to think they understand this. The price that Christ paid was so final that it included all of humanity without choice. Now, I'll tell you, and I definitely would never name names, but just to tell you, how the enemy can begin to twist stuff. Do you know that we've had people that have been in here and have been with us for years, and have gone out and begin to believe this kind of doctrine and walk away? Now, you can't really do that if you continue to pray in tongues a lot, okay? Because it'll aggravate you to pieces. The truth is, the price has been paid for all humanity to be redeemed back to God, but the choice of every individual must be made. John 3:16, this is simple, but this is something you need to keep in part of your doctrinal repertoire, because you're going to face this at times. People are going to say, Christ did it. Yes, he did. Well, the inhabitants of the earth belongs to him, and they think because he did it, it just covers everybody. John 3:16 does not say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what they believe. He come, he did it, and now everybody, Muslim, doesn't matter, Hindu, Buddhist, that God is so loving he sent Christ, in that position that Christ held or provided for us, the inheritance that he got was all nations and all people. And so it's no longer even a matter of choice. What John 3:16 does say is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Romans 10:9, you don't have to turn there, but this is all part of it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. So it's always something that you do that accesses something that he did. Amen. So it belongs to it. Everybody belongs to him. That's already been provided. So when we go out there as an army, we're actually behind that gate is something that belongs to us. So we can go in there with authority. Hallelujah. You getting anything? So all I can say to that is, please, people, as far as those that have gone out, and at times we still love those people, but I'll tell you this, read the Word. Read the Word. Some people say it's spirit. Listen, it's spirit and word. Love the Word. Love the Word. Check out what I say. We've run some incredible series these last couple of years by the grace of God. Check out what I say. Go home and check it out. Amen. Be a sharp church. Don't be, listen, I do not want to pastor a box of granola. A box of granola? Yeah, a bunch of flakes and nuts. You know, people that don't read the Word, have you ever been around? Okay, help me, Jesus. Have you ever thought, okay, somebody, talking to somebody that you think, I think they're spiritual. You know, you don't know them that much, but you think, I bet you just feel like, or maybe there seemed to be some kind of rep that they're carrying, that they pray. And you think, well, or they go to the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, and you think, just that, they're just by osmosis, they've got some kind of rep that they, and you're just talking to them, and you think, and all of a sudden they'll say something, and you'll go, oh my God, that's the flakiest thing that I ever heard. Where did you get that from? You know what it is? That you can't, now listen, you can't stay in the Word that stuff is not corrected out of you. You can't pray in tongues and stay with it. You got to have the teacher and you got to have the textbook. You can't divorce the two. They're married. They're absolutely married. And so you'll have people, you'll say, I think they've got a great prayer life. And then that person will just all of a sudden say something. You'll say, oh my God. Oh my God. Well, they may have a good prayer life, but I'll tell you what, if they're not in the Word, the Holy Spirit is continually trying to get them in the Word. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Well, he does. And every time, if you don't have much of a life in the Word, I can tell you, not without, and I'm not saying I'm interpreting your tongue, but I can tell you he's praying a lot that you'll get in the Word. Hallelujah. And just any time that your buddy or somebody says something really stupid, just say, man, Mr. Granola, Mrs. Granola, hallelujah. How many of you still love me? Hallelujah. Michael's going to make it all good Sunday. Hallelujah. He's just going to be real sweet and sing. And hallelujah. The whole world is, let's read some more of Psalms 24. For he hath founded it upon the seas. It's talking about the earth now. And of course, if you go back to Genesis, you see that the seas were, this is talking about creation here. The seas were created first, and upon that he built the land. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. That's just continuing to talk about the oceans. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath the clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. Now, if I can say this, I want us to receive this, and I believe that it's apropos, I believe it's proper, as a prophetic psalm for us in Immokalee. Amen? Because revival is in Immokalee. Present tense. We're believing it now. And so everything that the psalmist is saying here is that inheritance out there. And then where he's going with this, he says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. How many would say, I am that generation? Amen. Praise God. Listen, folks. Revelation 12. Where we've launched from, it says, and they overcame him. John saw that in the end time, that a church made it, the church made it. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel shall be preached. What gospel? The one that Christ was doing. It wasn't just a word in doctrine of gospel, but it was a demonstration of works gospel. This gospel will be preached to all nations, and then shall the end come. All I'm saying is this, is that prophetically, both by Jesus and by the apostles, again, somebody makes it. There's a generation that makes it into the fullness of God and brings about this great crescendo of him coming back. So we know this, if somebody made it, why not us and why not now? This is the generation. So prophetically, we say, okay, God, we are the generation. We're the generation of worshipers. We're the generation of those that begin to walk in the fullness of your righteousness, not of ourselves, but of Christ. And that's a whole other message of strongholds being pulled down. But everything that's imputed, everything that goes into that, we are that generation. Amen. We are, everybody say with me, I say we are that generation. Hallelujah. And he says here, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of Glory shall come in, who is the King of Glory. As I said before, gates, now this is two different gates here. This is a gate of glory. We talked about just a little bit ago. And the scriptural reference, if you want to write this down, but it's Matthew 16:18. And I say unto you, this is what Jesus said, and I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. So the gates of hell, I don't care, are there literal? Yeah, in the spirit there is. There's gates that are saying you're not going to prevail. We're going to hold these captives. Listen, the enemy is holding them behind those gates like a concentration camp. He really is. When I was in Poland a number of years ago, and I went to one of their, historical places that identifies the Holocaust, And there's actually two major camps that millions of Jewish people were exterminated. And it's really very emotional just to go through and tour. It took us all day. The first one we went to was Auschwitz. The second one was like 5 miles down the road. It was Birkenau. And incredible places, not good places, but Auschwitz has a gate. And you've probably seen it in historical periodicals or whatever and books. But it's written there, and it must be German, but it says, "Work sets one free." And they brought these millions of Jews there, and they would march them through this gate with that pretense, if you come in here and work, you can work yourself back into freedom. Only to find out that they went in there, and it's just, you know, I don't have time to go into it, but there was gas chamber after gas chamber, and there was so many different laboratories in which they did experiments to torture these people, and on and on and on. And that's not the lesson tonight. But the lesson is this: as they went in there, those gates held them in a concentration camp. And folks, your friends, your family, they don't know it. They may believe, even if they're living a good life, they may believe that that life is a life for them. But I'm telling you, they're living in darkness, but they belong to the Lord. They absolutely belong to the Lord. They're in a concentration camp. And they think, one of my favorite sci-fi movies, Candy goes, "Why do you like that? Is The Matrix." And it's really, that whole thing is, you know, Neo, what's his name? I think it is. He finally, it's all about people that are really, they're not really living their own life. They're not living their own life. And it's all about, the narrative is that, you know, there's this big warfare between, at some point in history, between man and machine, and basically, or you know, the intelligence, your iPads and everything eventually take over, and humanity as we know it kind of comes to a nothingness, and for this higher intelligence of computers and everything to exist, they need energy, and there's, because of the war, the sun has been scorched, and there's no solar power, or there's no any kind of other generating power. Well, anyway, the bottom line is they begin to grow test tube human beings, and inside those test tube human beings, they put them in a computer, and they believe that they're living their life. They believe they're marrying people. They believe they're going to church. They believe that they're living their own life. And see, that's, to me, I watch it and I think, that's a perfect example. Because the world is out there, and the world believes that it's living its own life in freedom. And they're in a concentration camp, but here's the deal. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness, and the world. Not only the earth is the Lord's, but the world, the inhabitants. We're pulling them out of there. Amen. We've got the authority. We've got the go ye. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I got so excited here, I somehow lost my place here. Okay, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Now, this is our King coming in to his place of habitation, and prophetically we say that's a mockery. The King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? Now, who is our King of Glory? Who is the captain of our faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. Has he given us a commission to lead a charge over Immokalee? Hallelujah. So this commander-in-chief, onward Christian soldiers, endure hardness as a good soldier. He's out in front of us, and he's leading this charge, going out there, listen, and as long as we stay connected to Him, this is absolutely going to happen. This is absolutely among us now, present tense. The captain of our faith, Hebrews tells us that He is the captain of our faith. Who is the Lord of glory? Well, the gates of hell will not prevail, but here's another gate. Here's the gates of our city. Here's the gates of access, and Jesus is leading the charge. Jesus is saying to you, and listen, tomorrow when you go out there, this week, lay hands on the sick if it comes up. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Know this, that He wants to get them healed more than you possibly can imagine. Amen. More than you can possibly imagine. Amen. And the good thing about it is, follow what Jesus did. He never asked anybody. I love that message that Gary, I don't know if you guys were even there, Gary did a message one night or he included part of it, was there was like 7 or 8 things that Jesus never did. I think that was just before you guys got there the night before. But one of the things that Jesus never did, He never asked someone to repent of their sins before He healed them. He just healed them. Now, He might say, go and sin no more. But He was always, the posture, because of the atonement, the posture of our Father is to do it and then take care of things later. Isn't that wonderful? It's not, let's take care of it, let's sit down, and let's see if you qualify. Go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Amen. Why don't you just stand with me? Hallelujah. Glory. To just lift up your hands and begin to magnify Him. We glorify You, Jesus. We thank You for where You're taking us and for what You've promised us in these days. Lord, let our hearts be lifted up and follow You into this charge. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I want you to... These are familiar verses of Scripture, but I want you to put input your name in here. I'll read these to start with. That'll be best. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now I want you to put your name in there where it says Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed, now put your name, Bronk Flint, with the Holy Ghost, say this with me, with the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God is with me. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now I want you to put where it says Son of God, your name in there. Say this, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was or is, say your name, Bronk. Say this, I am manifested that I might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, you know what? You're manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, well, we're going to... Yes. Do you have some? Sure. Sure. You need a. Where's my mic at? No, I know he's Mike, but I'm just. Oh, I'm. Oh, that's Michael. Okay.
And I was sitting there asking God if I was supposed to share this Sunday or today, but it just kept boiling. About 30 minutes ago, he gave me this for here. He said that you have dug wells. You have dug wells. These wells are for the longevity of the last outpouring. The river of life will flow from these wells. You are the wells. Life flows from these wells into dry places in the desert and brings living water to the dry places. And now life once again can flow to those that are far from God.
Hallelujah. Wow.
And I believe that, see, you know, you spend year after year. You know, Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
Yes.
And what you've done is you've dug deep.
Yes.
Because for what's coming, you're going to need the longevity. He doesn't want it to start and then stop.
That's exactly
this
right.
This is it.
Amen.
This is
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And just like you were preaching up at Jim Martin's, mm-hmm. it's time. Now, we don't say stop praying, but it's time to come out of the prayer
That's
closet
right.
and let these waters flow.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Word of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Was that right on with what was preached tonight? Hallelujah. Please send us a copy of that, Michael. Text me or email me that, please. Hallelujah. Well, glory, Father, bless, we pray, those going out of here tonight. Prepare us for Sunday, Lord. We pray for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Take us to the next level. We thank you for this prophecy. Father, we thank you that the wells that have been dug are going to bring forth an abundance in Jesus' name. With longevity, we thank you that which will begin will not be able to be stopped in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give somebody a great big hug. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.